There was no reportable action taken in. Oh, we do have. Okay, we do have something to report. By unanimous vote, the board rejected the following claim from John Paul Santos, the claim against the Marysville Joint Unified School District. Okay, let's turn it over to our student representative from Lyndhurst. Mike.
Hello. Oh, okay. Can I start over? Okay. So on October 2nd to the 7th, Lyndhurst held its homecoming week. This year's theme was Electronic Blazer Carnival. It was a great success as it is themed that garnered the attention of our students and allowed them to fully immerse themselves in this event. Our varsity football team also won the game against West Campus that Friday with a score of 40-77. This year was also the Hall of Fame dinner and the community bonfire. Lyndhurst inducted four new members to the Alumni Hall of Fame, Dr. James Setters, Bob Keyser, Bill Biggs, and Sarbdeep Atwal. The prime rib dinner was catered by Lyndhurst's own Culinary Arts Department. Today was the second President Council meeting in which we discussed that the president of each club must bring a written report of the club's activities. We did this so that the ASB will be more well-rounded to be able to become the voice and home of our students. Nearing the end of October, on the 24th, a Halloween door decorating contest will be conducted. And on the 28th, our diverse student association club will hold a zombie run as a fundraiser. Finally, on Halloween, our students will dress up and compete to win the best costume. And that is all.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we have a presentation. Okay, this is the passing.
First of all, I want to thank the board for the opportunity to be the principal of Community Day School and the Marysville Joint School District's Independent Study Program. And I have a PowerPoint, and we've all seen PowerPoints before. So, you know, they have these really fancy good songs and stuff. Well, this one doesn't have a song, so I want you guys, as I'm going through this, think of your favorite song and just kind of go along. Now, I am going to read I'm going to read in my mind, because I don't want to insult everybody's intelligence, these slides. So anywhere from between some kind of a high school level to Evelyn Wood speed reading. So just kind of stay with that pace and we'll be okay. And because I do want to be respectful of everybody's time, and I know I have like 10 minutes and I've already started my clock here. So let's get this thing rolling. I think I have to hit down. Here we go. See if that works. All right. My song, by the way, is Michael Jackson, Man in the Mirror. Some of my kids would probably be... Some of my kids probably Johnny Cash, Folsom Prison Blues. But I thought I was kidding about the silence part. 1949, B Street.
Mm-hmm. Okay, if you're going to make us read, you need to start humming.
I was thinking about it. Seriously, you know.
Just not a Michael Jackson.
No, Mikey? None of that. Okay. It's a good one. I do want to mention the challenges here, which I'm going to talk about in a second, but most of you read this in the board report. We faced a few things that were challenging. I just like this picture, so we'll look at our most interesting man in the world, because this is how many people operate.
Is true.
You gotta love that guy.
Really cute.
Independent study kind of an interesting situation, independent study. As leader of independent study, I have grown to appreciate it in many ways, whereas as an assistant principal at the comprehensive high school, I sort of did not appreciate things quite the same way. I'll talk about that in a minute. We do have some targeted areas for our students. That's kind of hard to read, so I'll point out a couple. Encourage students to transition back to the comprehensive school site, which I believe is always best for students. Reduce the number of independent study students who just want it to those that need it. And something I've always believed in, the last one, communicate with the stakeholders at high levels. There's some challenges right there. And I'm going to leave you with this because I want to talk for my remaining 6 minutes and 41 seconds. Seven years ago, I was hired into the Marysville Joint Unified School District as an assistant principal at Marysville High School. And I see Mr. Carrion's not here, but he's the one that made that call. And just about the time my wife had given up on me getting a job at Marysville, she was on her way home from work. I was at home. The phone rings, and it's Mr. Carrion. And he asked for Dan Gray. And I said, well, there's no Dan Gray here, but this is David Gray. See, Dan Gray at the time was a newscaster on Channel 3. So, you know, honest mistake. We both, you know, probably look alike. But he told me I was fortunate enough to get this job. So I took the job at Marysville High School as assistant principal. Somewhere about this time of year, it was late October, early November, I had a conversation with Mrs. Matthews, who's the principal at McKinney now. She was the other assistant principal. And I was really concerned about something that I saw. Is that we had about 45 kids that were freshmen that were failing virtually every class. They were already going to be 25 to 30 credits short. They weren't even going to be on track to graduate after just the first part of the school year. And that was a problem for me because I'm a believer that, and I tell my staff at Community Day and at Independent Study, the teacher has not taught until that student has learned. So it's a big job that we have as teachers. Got the mug. This is the famous mug with the, you know, what do teachers make? Yeah, they make a difference. Now, this used to be a sippy cup. It's now more of a dribble cup because I broke the top up. But it does remind us of what our job is as teachers and educators. And that goes top down. That's from board all the way down to everybody cleaning the hallways. Yeah, we all make a difference in the lives of our students. Another thing I have on my desk is a bus. And I tell my teachers, this is who we teach. Whoever shows up at our school is who we teach. And we teach it at the highest levels. And just because our kids are non-promote, or just because the clientele is expelled students, doesn't mean that we slack off in any way, shape, or form. We meet the challenge head on, and we teach these kids at the highest level. So we had a great work day yesterday. We talked about just those same kind of things. And I shared what I was going to be sharing tonight. Also, there's going to be times when we don't know how what we do for our students turns out. I was fortunate enough yesterday for my lunchtime, one of my former students, a guy that I had back in 1980 at Capital Christian, came up to have lunch with me. Now, he was 13 years old at that time, so if you do the math, you're looking at a guy who's like 48 years old, older than most of my staff. But this guy was a student, and he's told me that the impact I had as a teacher was so great and important that he wanted to share time with me, and he had done that over the years. It's the action, not the fruit of the action, that's important. We might not know what that is. You have to do the right thing. That's kind of a theme I picked up from my parents. Is you got to do the right thing. So even though we're two schools in one over here at Community Day, we have expelled students and we have non-promoted students, our job is to teach them the best way we can. Again, that's 7 years ago when I told Ms. Matthews, I said, what we need is some kind of tweener school. I called it Limbo High School. Let's go to Limbo High, man. I could take those guys and we can get them up to grade level and we'll be all right. Well, I'll tell you what, 7 years later, I got my wish. And I will tell you, I did not start out to interview for the job at Community Day School. I was thinking, well, maybe, there was all these elementary positions in the district that were open, and I thought maybe I could get one of those and maybe make a difference in some way. I'm not cocky. I'm just confident that I have some things to add. But guess what? When I talked to my wife about the opportunity to be at the Community Day School, she said, you got to take it. You work great with the kids there. So whether I do or whether I don't, I'm going to keep doing that right there, the right things. And I expect my staff to do the right things. And I challenge everybody to come visit my school. Yeah, it's pretty strictly laid out. We've put our kids in focus groups, in learning groups. We're targeted instruction that's meant to get these kids to where they need to be at the semester. So we're just down the street. You guys know where we are. Public, you guys are invited. You guys are all, this is your school too. But in a nutshell, that's what we are. If you do nothing, there will be no fruit. Thank you very much.
David, what's your enrollment right now?
Right now we're about, we have 53, I think, of the non-promotes. We started out with like 60. A couple have actually transitioned because of circumstances to independent study. A couple have chosen to go to T.E. Matthews because it's too tough.
Yeah.
but we have about, I'd say we're running right around 65 kids, and that's sixth grade through the 12th graders.
And that's at independent study or community day?
That's at Community Day School. The independent study program's probably bigger than it needs to be. We're trying to pare that down, make it based on need.
Okay. Thanks, David.
Anybody else? Other
question?
Yes. Last week, we had our first week of having all credentialed teachers in place for the first time. And I'll tell you, it was a grind up until then. And we have the right people in the right spots. The educational pieces is really good. We still have one more para position to fill, which will really help us. But I'll tell you what, it's just having credentialed people in the spot instead of long-term sub who bails and goes over for the big money during the strike and stuff like that. You know, so we're there. So, I mean, we're looking good.
Mr. Fleury,
Jim, can you turn on your mic?
Randy always tells me to turn it off. Do you have somebody in place now for the teacher that's out on a leave?
We do. Yes, okay. Mr. Westcamp is now back with us. What a huge difference that has made as well. But yeah, I don't often stress about things because I just deal with it. But, you know, I did have many a night thinking, how can we make this thing the way it needs to be? Because I got a vision of what it should be like, and it wasn't there. But now I can see it's creeping up the slope, and there's always going to be work to do, which brings me, and I'm sorry, I'm 2 minutes over. I don't really keep a bunch of trophies, but I have one. The base of this trophy with a football on it says 45-1. 45 wins, one loss. Now I'll tell you how you get to 45-1. You get all the stakeholders together, and you plan, and you do, and you push, and you figure, and you just do what's necessary. Because in the end, the results take place. 45-1. And it wasn't just me that got there. So that's what the football's about. Anyway, any other questions?
Well, I like your passion. I have seen the program with different people over many years, and you're very passionate, as anybody we've had in that position. And that makes a difference to kids. Kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And those kids do know that you care. I've already heard that.
Well, I got great support right in front of me, so.
Yes. Good.
Okay. We have a presentation. This is really tough for me. Okay. Corrective action to end year evidence and progress report from Lenny Tate.
A tongue twister. They couldn't have put one more word in that.
this title, I don't think. But I just wanted to say it's so nice to see all of you, and it's nice to get to stand up here in front of you again. Take the opportunity to say thank you so much for all of your well wishes. I really appreciate that. What we're doing tonight, now, in your board package, you received the actual corrective action report that we're going to be sending to the state. I tried to simplify my board presentation to make it short and sweet. And, of course, I had a couple extra minutes on my hands, and I made it a little longer than I wanted it. So parts of the pages I won't be going through too much. But basically, in this corrective action plan, we discuss the strategies that we use that are from our LCAP, and we also discuss the results of those actions. So going to the next page. There are three goals in our LCAP, which I think you've all heard so many times. One is tied to academic achievement. The other is tied to physical and emotional safety. And the third is tied to family community involvement with our students. The words in gray are the pieces that we have in our LCAP. We also, a couple of years ago, let the state know that our board had chosen to include our LEA goals, our Lead Education Agency Plan goals, inside of our LCAP. And so that's why it says LEAP/LCAP on there. So each of these pieces that you're seeing in gray are pieces that we added in 2015-16, and I should have made that clear at the beginning. We're reporting on last year's goals and results. Basically, the overall for academic achievement would be our CASP results, which we haven't had something to compare in quite a few years. And basically, the very top line is overall, where it's showing that we've moved from 30% to 32% of our students proficient in English language arts. And in regards to math, from 22% to 25%. So in ELA, a 2% increase, and in math, a 3% increase. It's really important that we look at all of our subgroups to show that we are offering equitable instruction across the board to all of our students. So that's what you're going to see in that drop-down side here. As I started adding pages, at first I wasn't going to give you this paperwork, but then I thought, as I add pages, you may have questions later and want to go back and look at it, so that's why you have the packet that's in front of you. I'm going to skip down. The next page is a nice snapshot that the state actually builds for us. I did change the enrollment. They had the 14-15 enrollment, and I added the chart for the 15-16 enrollment, so you could see where our students, different subgroups in regards to race and ethnicity that we're serving, that we served in 15-16. Again, this page just offers you a nice graph comparing EL English proficiency in the district compared to the state over 3 years. Each of the charts you're going to view, the majority of them are showing a three-year change, district compared to state. I'm going to go to the next page. This one is tied to student achievement. I did circle two of the spots there. The one in the center is just so you can see that's the 2015 English language arts results, and next to it are the circled are the 2015 math results. The very last column in each of those charts is where the state results lay. Next page is in regards to student engagement, and what they put under that are our graduation rates. And this is the first time I've seen this where we've had an increase compared to the state. So our graduation rate is 83% of our students in 2015, whereas the state's was 82%. So it's so nice to see a wonderful, where we're not just getting close to the goal, but we've actually gone past what the state average is. And so I think we're moving in the right direction in regards to graduation. The next chart is dropout rates. Again, it might look like we're not doing as well because the bar lowers, but that's where we want it to lower. That's our dropout rate. So we want that to go down. And again, our dropout rate is lower than the state's average dropout rate at this point. In regards to dropouts at the middle, the state has begun to have us take a look at our middle school grade dropout counts. And you'll see in our district we had two of our middle school students drop out last year. I'm going to go down again. Oh, and then again, our suspension rate and our expulsion rate compared to the state's suspension and expulsion rate. These are the pages I'm not going to go through in detail. These are the breakdowns for each of our subgroups so that you can see over that three-year period how we're doing for each of our students in our subgroups. Subgroups being all students, Black or African American, American Indian, Asian, Filipino, Hispanic or Latino, Native Hawaiian or Pacific Islander, white, and those of two or more races. I circled the top because that's our 2015 results on our EAP. EAP is the test students take that would allow, that shows the colleges if they're college ready or not for certain courses. We'd like to see that regardless of what your race might be, that you would be performing at the we'd have the same numbers of performance, and you can see where we drop off and where we have gains. This is our four-year cohort high school graduation rate for each of those subgroups. And then again, it goes back to smarter balance results for ELA and for math at grades 3 to 8. This page, I snuck this in here because every year, last year you approved a board policy that the state requested that we do, where we give you information on the courses that our ninth graders are taking. The expectation, again, is that it's equitable, that we have percentages are similar across the board for all students in regards to which math classes they might be taking. We have foundations, Common Core State Standards 6 to 8, do a little explanation on that. Our high schools discovered that a lot of our students, when we moved to Integrated 1, were not prepared for it in their freshman year, and they were not having the success that we would want them to have. So they created a course where students can accelerate through a lot of those Common Core State Standards math strategies that they might not have addressed during their full elementary years, because we've only had the Common Core Standards for about 3 years now. So what this is showing you is our number of freshmen that are in foundational 6th to 8th grade Common Core State Standards, which is, I believe, strongly tied to algebra, beginning geometry skills that'll help them address the needs that they'll have for Integrated 1. So they'll take Integrated 1 their sophomore year, Integrated 2 their junior year, and they have several pathways their senior year, two of which might be pre-calculus or calculus, AP calculus, those pieces. The two on the bottom, Practical Math Integrated 1 and Practical Math Common Core State Standards, serve the majority of the students in those classes are in our special ed programs. They are students with IEPs, with special needs, but you can see we have an Integrated 1 course as well as the Practical Math course in ninth grade. And that's it. Do you guys have any questions in regards to all that paperwork and data I gave you?
I have one question. You go back to page 6 about the expulsions and suspensions.
I think I haven't tried to go backwards before, so maybe. The right button doesn't do it, but
just,
let's see.
Just a quick question.
Yeah, I think I could probably do it just.
That 59, that's the number of expulsions that we had in 2015?
When it feeds up to the state for CalPADS, but I know who you're looking at, the expert.
Yeah.
Jolie, do you have any input? I know we're putting her on the spot.
She's already shaking her head, yeah.
Yeah.
That was my only question, and I have to tell you that it talks student engagement district-wide. You know, you go back 15 years ago, 12 years ago, we were expelling three times, hundreds, 200, 250. I remember sitting in at some board meetings and in close, and there would be 30, 35 kids. I just cannot tell our district staff how proud I am that number has come down from hundreds to 59 kids. Well, you know, it may be up this year, I don't know, but student engagement is the key, and that's what everybody was saying. You know, and if you give something enough time, it's going to work. And sometimes you have to change, but I just cannot tell you how proud I am of the entire district and all the teachers, all the counselors, the administrators, and office staff that help with these programs. It just amazes me.
I completely agree, and thank you. You reminded me of what we're doing now, the collaboration that's happening in our district, the opportunities teachers are taking and having to collaborate and talk about our individual students. This is a big picture. This says, are we going the right direction on our trail when you lump all this information into one place? Where this data really matters is down at that individual student, and that's where our teachers and our administrators and the district is focused on supporting to those conversations for teachers to have to help support those students. And you are absolutely right. Our district does so much for our students. I don't know what the right phrase is for it, but burn the candle at both ends. I've seen teachers at campus in the middle of the night. Right. I've seen them there early in the morning. I've seen administrators never, I don't even know if they, I think they have a cot or something. Maybe they take a little bit of sleep by. But we work really hard to make the improvements that we make. And when you pile all the information in one big place like this, you don't necessarily see all that incremental growth. You see the small pieces, but right. 1%, 2%, those are big changes for our district. So thank you for reminding me to say that.
That number, I just cannot get over. You know, I've been here 20 years, and 15 years ago, 18 years ago, we were expelling kids, and they would try to do interventions, and they wouldn't work. And with the engagement that they've done over the last 10 or 12 years,
right.
I just cannot say enough.
There's been a lot done by the people in this room. And each, I mean, I look at the directors and the executive directors out here that have done so much. We have PBIS now. I know all of the principals talk about
right.
that. They're very proud of the activities that are happening because
right.
of PBIS. I'm sure that that's impacting how the students are doing in their classes and their want to stay in the class as opposed to
make
choices that get them out.
You know, I got to agree with that. I was out of Yuba Gardens in the 80s, and we were mandated by the district to cut our suspension rate in half, and that's when Doug and I were out there. And we started the choices class, and we cut it 50% the first year, 50% the second, 50% the third by offering extra counseling and making them accountable, even for small things. And I give a lot of the credit. There's been a major turnaround, as Glenn said. And I think it's the teachers, the administrators, and Jolie's office. I mean, these kids really know that they've got people in there that care. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Mm. And lady.
Any comments from board members? Mr. Crawford? Mr. Denable?
Bob, congratulations on a great job with your Hall of Fame, and congratulations with that ROTC program coming back out to Lyndhurst. I think you have a nice opportunity to turn that place around. And I also want to thank all the directors. You know, you guys are classy guys. You make us look good. And I use guys generically, so don't, sue me.
Watch the locker room.
Yeah, thanks.
Mr. Boom? Mr. Rasmussen?
And, you know, I agree with you, Mr. Harris, that student engagement is really so important. And we did get to see that last Thursday night out at Lyndhurst High School. Must have been 45 to 50 culinary arts students that were out there engaged in the program, not only serving food, but picking up the dishes and serving dessert. And also having students in the media arts room that actually had us do a little presentation, and just seeing kids being able to be connected with their school makes things so much nicer, and kids are enjoying and they don't have time to do wrong things. So student engagement is so important. Thank you.
I also would like to say, Bob, you guys did an amazing job last Thursday. The changes at Lyndhurst, and Gay mentioned all the people involved, Cynthia, Travis, the directors that were working on this. Everybody came together as a team, and this is what this district is about. We're working as a team, and I've had some of the new principals say they really appreciate the teamwork they find in this district. And as I said before, I appreciate this district when I go down to CSBA and hear what other districts are doing. I'm very proud of our district, what we have here, the direction we're going, and we're gonna get better. We're great and we're gonna get better. But it was an amazing thing last Thursday. And also the ROTC thing, that's probably the best thing since I've been on this board to bring that back.
Mr. Harris?
I think I've commented on that.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Dale?
Mr. Eckert, I wanted to ask you, how come you didn't have your culinary class suggest being the caterers for Marysville High for their and maybe saved us a few dollars.
Good move. Bob, I'd like to say today I actually met with the staff and the maintenance staff, and I passed on, I couldn't pass on as much as you passed on. It was, I said, you just made such a compliments for the maintenance and probably 20 minutes, and I could only do it for a few minutes, but I know they appreciated it because I told them that they were not forgotten. And I want to compliment you on the band also, the Lenters band that came out, and everything seems to be running very smoothly, and those kids were amazing, the ones that served. And with that, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Okay, that's enough.
I wasn't actually going to talk tonight, but I just wanted to let you know that if you haven't heard already, the association has submitted a demand to bargain and cease and desist on the methods being used for collaboration and articulation time. But I wanted to make clear for everybody that our teachers really want to do the collaboration time and articulation time. There are some sites that the method they're using for doing it isn't as thought out as we would like it to be and has made it difficult for some teachers. So the reason for the demand to bargain is so that district-wide we can have some procedures for implementing it in a way that I don't end up having a phone call from that site and that site about this thing and that thing, and we just, everybody would know, all the administrators would know, the teachers would know what to expect. So we're hoping to do that really soon because people want to get back to articulating. Thanks.
Operating Engineers Local, Union 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees. Supervisory Unit. Okay. I have no public comment cards. And that brings us to the superintendent's report.
And I'm going to pass tonight, so thank you.
Okay. That brings us to approval of minutes. We have two motions. First, the minutes from the regular board meeting of 9/27/16. Would anybody like to make a motion for that, to approval? Mr. Fleury moved to approve. Mr. Crawford. Okay. Okay. You know, I just realized that I can't see you very clearly now. I got these things on. Okay. So it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? None. It's unanimous. And the second, the minutes for the special board meeting of 9/29/16. If there's no changes or additions or deletions, Mr. Crawford moves to approve. Mr. Daniel seconds. All those in favor? Aye. That's six abstentions. Mr. Boom abstains. And that brings us to the consent agenda. If anybody would like anything pulled from the consent agenda, please do so now. Mr. Crawford moves. I have one comment. I don't want to pull it, the item, but on our student teachers, do we have student teachers for all three levels, the elementary and middle school and elementary and secondary, are they in the same program?
I would say yes, but I'm not the assistant soup for personnel who's not here with us this evening.
I know it's
typically
nice.
Typically we do. We have them across the board. We're hiring new teachers all the time.
Okay. Okay, Frank, you moved to approve. Is there a second? Mr. Danville seconds. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Unanimous. That brings us to new business. Facilities and Energy Management Department, change order number one for Marysville High School kitchen project. Don't all leave at once. Okay. Any comments from the board members? I went over to see the work that was done at the high school cafeteria there. I figured it was about 60 or 70 square feet, so, and then I had a better explanation of the problems and the water damage. So I think it's interesting because I just kind of questioned the money at first, and then I realized that that's probably standard for what was done. And if there's no other questions on facilities, if somebody wants.
We do have Ms. Jensen here if you have specific questions for her on that item. Yes? No?
Not on the
motion. Okay.
Okay. Mr. Harris moves to approve the motion. There's a second, and Mr. Danable. Okay. I did. I didn't know which one. Now I don't know which one. Okay.
It's that chair between you that's thrown it.
Okay. So it's been moved and seconded that we accept the dollar amount on change order number one for the Marysville High School kitchen project. All those in favor? Aye. Opposed? None? Passes unanimously. Business services agreement with the United States Air Force for the establishment of the Air Force Junior Reserve Officer Training Corps, AFJ ROTC unit at Lyndhurst High School. I want to be the first to say how proud I am to have this on this agenda. Yeah, and
Mr. Eckerd played a huge part in the application and getting the ball rolling. So kudos to you, Mr. Eckerd.
Absolutely exciting when it was announced at the Hall of Fame dinner, and everyone I've talked to about it, I told the maintenance group this today, and I think they were just as excited as I was about it. Maybe they didn't show it as much, but it's been a long time coming and one of our greatest goals. If there's no other comments on that, Mr. Boom makes a motion to approve. Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay. All right. We'll get you next time, Tony. Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? Passes unanimously. Number two, Resolution 2016-1707, authorizing the sale and issuance of refunding bonds and related actions. And this, I'd like to refer to Ryan. I think it would be nice to get an explanation of how the district benefits from this.
Thank you, President Rex. This transaction is something that we brought an opportunity during the study session to the board members to do an advance refunding. So we're doing a little bit ahead of schedule regarding the 2009 bonds we issued under Measure P, the current interest bond portion of that issuance. And the reason we brought it to the board is because interest rates are at a historically low rate at this time. So we want to take advantage of that and return some money to the taxpayers. We feel it's our responsibility as the carriers of this public debt to return that money. And so at this time, based on our projections, we expect to save nearly $3.8 million of the debt obligation, return that back to the taxpayers, and in net present value, it's almost $3 million or over 11% savings on that original issuance. So that's why we're taking advantage of this opportunity at this time.
Okay, any questions or comments? If there's no questions or comments, the board will accept a motion on resolution 2016-1707. Mr. Boom moves to approve. Mr. Danable seconds. Okay. All those in favor? Aye. Any nays? None. Passes unanimously.
How are they going to find out they're getting this back?
Pardon?
How are they going to find out that they're getting this back?
We'll have a press release ready to this one. The sale we're anticipating for around October 25th, so we can issue a press release at that time. We'll work with Canaan Public Finance to make sure the appropriate people get it in their hands.
Okay, then brings us to item three. I had one question on this. Item three is the addendum to the agreement with the K&N Public Finance for the district's 2016 general obligation refunding bonds. But the part I read on page 405, I was wondering why haven't we done an annual report before now? It says we had failed to file an annual report. And I just wondered, was it okay we didn't need to file one? Or
no, it's just an exhibit in case you do. We've been working on filing reports, as you know, with this actually has to pertain to the last item. It doesn't have to do with this item. But you put that inside the draft documents in case you failed. But that's why we pay Canaan Public Finance to do our continuing disclosure requirements. So we plan on doing it, filing on time.
So we're not getting dinged for that? Or
no, it's just a required form so that if you do.
That's what I thought. It was so just a required form.
All this information essentially goes to the potential buyers of the bond. So they have to have, well, what happens in case this happens? They need to have those forms and those options just in case.
So we've met our legal obligations, just to be clear.
Okay. With that, I have no other comments. The board will entertain a motion to approve. Mr. Daniel moves to approve.
I'll second that.
Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay. It's kind of a race there. Okay. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No nays. Okay, then I think that we are adjourned.